Welcome to The Backlog, a podcast hosted by Adaptivate. I'm Nate Nelson, Managing Director of our LA office. Adaptivate partners with clients to accelerate outcomes by implementing new, transformative ways of working. We are a global firm with offices in the US, Canada, Singapore, Europe, and Australia. This episode is Innovation in Healthcare with Ling Kung, Director of Innovation at Kaiser Permanente. Ling, it's so great to have you on the show today.
I know, I'm really excited. Thanks for having me, Nate.
Absolutely. And we've known each other for, it's been 10 years, would you say?
I think that's right. It seems like yesterday and also forever.
That's right. Could you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. So I started my career, like you, in consulting. And I had always been interested in healthcare. I was business pre-med and undergrad. And post-business school, took a role at Kaiser Permanente as a fellow. And then just 13 years later, still stayed at Kaiser in various capacities, from Medicare, where we met, to the commercial side of the house, and now sit in a technology group.
That's great. Appreciate the overview. What would you like people to know about Kaiser, especially right now in our current situation?
You know, Kaiser is such a different beast than most healthcare systems. It's really large. And as most large organizations, we generally move more slowly and cautiously. But during this current, during our COVID crisis, what I've been really impressed about is the way that the organization can and has come together, that we are working beyond all of our silos to do what's best for our clinician and our staff and our members. So processes that used to take like 3 months now take 4 days. And I'm just really excited to see how, recognizing how quickly we can work, how we're able to keep that once COVID is no longer the first thing in our minds.
Yeah. And I would just like to say, you know, on behalf of Adaptivate, thank you so much for what you are doing in support of Kaiser and what Kaiser is doing here. Certainly an essential business, taking care of folks in times of need during the coronavirus pandemic. So a huge thank you for that. And, you know, you are all in our thoughts as you are all on the front line. So appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
So Ling, let's talk more about your role. So how did you get here?
You know, it's really interesting to reflect on that, because I think I really fell into this role when I had started in my career in healthcare. I really thought I wanted to like run a hospital system. So the idea of being an innovation was pretty foreign. And so I'm really thankful it's kind of been a jungle gym of a career path so far. So as I mentioned earlier, after graduate school, I took a fellowship at Kaiser. So it's a 2-year training program where you work with a lot of leaders and you're able to rotate through the medical group, the health plan, and the hospital, which are the three entities that comprise Kaiser. I spent a lot of time actually in my career in Medicare, leading our strategic planning for Medicare. And Nate, that's where you and I bonded, and actually ended up starting our product strategy for Medicare. So I was really interested, and this was in the mid-2000s when digital health was really becoming a thing. And I was really interested in how digital health and technology could support our seniors. And so really looked at a few different technologies, you know, what that experience was for our members, and then made some recommendations, you know, and then actually I thought a little bit more about, well, how could we serve not just our seniors, but what makes sense for all of our members? And so I took a role in a group called Strategic Customer Engagement that sits on our commercial side of the house. And that was really interesting because I got to lead our vendor strategy work, which was really the predecessor for Kaiser's digital health strategy. So that work was really fascinating, being able to interact with venture capital firms, private equity shops, startups, and really feeling the innovation that happens at small companies and at small scale. I was, in my last year, pulled into a design and innovation project started by our design consultancy and our quality group. And I think it was because it really dealt with digital health. And that project really piqued my interest in the value of design to solve problems and what design plus innovation plus technology could do and how it could solve problems for our members. And that really is what led me to where I am today. So I currently sit in our technology group, and I lead a team that is focused on technology plus design and how that equals innovation for our different service lines in care delivery.
Great. That's quite an overview. The interesting thing is I certainly remember our days in Medicare and Medicaid, Ling. And I love the fact that, you know, in such a, let's say, fragmented healthcare system here in the U.S. Kaiser has certainly been sort of leading the charge in terms of a more integrated health system. And it feels like you have sort of modeled your career in that way as well, being on both the government, the Medicare, Medicaid side, also being on the commercial side and on the health system side and on the health plan side as well. So super interesting. And I heard a few times in there, certainly product design and innovation. And so I would love to dig into that a little bit. What's innovation in healthcare like?
You know, it's really interesting. I think innovation is such a often used and also often misunderstood term in general. And so I think in my mind, I think of innovation as everything from process improvement. It's the incremental improvement as well as the disruptive improvements that we make to serve our members and serve our employer groups better, right? So it is as simple as when a nurse proposes a workflow change that helps our patients get discharged faster to some of the larger technology and AI solutions that we are working to implement.
Absolutely. You know, we talk about process, we talk about technology, we talk about the people component, you know, very important in order for innovation to come to life. So how do you and your team really think about driving innovation into the organization?
My team, we're really fortunate at Kaiser Permanente that innovation is part of who we are as an organization. So there are quite a number of innovation teams. There are at least four, if I remember correctly, national innovation teams, of which my team is one. And then there are a number of regional physician, like PMG, for our Permanente Medical Group innovation teams, medical center innovation teams, and also other regional health plan innovation teams. You know, and all of these teams are really looking for opportunities to improve our service, our experience, ways to make the lives of our clinicians and our staff and our members to make their lives better. What's interesting, I think, about our team and my team specifically is that we are a technology team grounded in design. So our goal is to ensure that we're getting the right types of services and products into the hands of our members. And so when we think about the path to innovation, it's really using design to ensure that the technology solutions that we may find are both feasible, that they are desirable, and that they are usable to our members. And then that will helpfully enable scale and spread throughout the organization. I think that the cool thing about technology is that it is one way. It is probably the easiest way in some facets to drive consistency through an organization.
Yeah. Well, and also a very challenging way. It really depends, right?
Yes.
And when you talk about your members, and that's what Kaiser calls its patients, right? Or customers. What I'm hearing is it's like the patient is in the middle, right? It's really patient-centered design or customer-centered design in this way. So I'd love to hear a little bit about if there are new ways of working that help you sort of drive outcomes faster.
Yeah. So, you know, Nate, as a hybrid team, we have technologists on our team, project managers, consultants, and designers. And I think what that has really enabled us to do is to take the best of all worlds as we think about how we accelerate outcomes. So, for example, we do stand-ups, like morning stand-ups, like a traditional technology team for projects. And we also do like feedback sessions and retrospectives during project milestones. But we also use like design tools like Mural and Airtable, which have been really instrumental as we are, you know, a much more virtual team now in our work. And so I think the combination, there's not, I think, one way of working that helps us to move things forward. You probably remember Kaiser is very alignment driven and is a very collaborative organization. And so I think by being able to pick and choose and have a broader toolkit to work from in design and in technology and in project management skills, it allows us to really customize and be flexible to be able to react quickly and be proactive as we solve problems.
That's great. And so I've heard some language in here like stand-ups and feedback and retrospectives. So could you talk a little bit more about perhaps agile or design thinking or some of those concepts? It sounds like they're sort of woven into what you do.
It's really interesting. You know, so I am newer to the technology part of our team and, you know, having spent most of my career on the health plan side. And so learning about these different tools like agile, and like, you know, and human-centered design. I think it's really interesting for how we kind of mush them together in certain ways. And so agile, you know, I think, as you know, is really about like how you're able to quickly pivot. There are stand-ups every day, so you're able to meet in the morning, understand what needs to get done, get that work done, and then you continually meet. You're meeting and you're rapidly adjusting to processes,
right,
and to work, which I think has been really helpful. And is, I think, a much more flexible approach that we need, you know, because I think also in innovation, when you think about our work, it's usually precedent setting. And so while there is a desired outcome, there's not always a clear path. And so being able to adapt to change, being able to be flexible and enjoying that ambiguity of not really knowing how, but having a clear, the clearest thing that you have is a sense of the general direction, but your path is not always laid out clearly.
Exactly.
You know, and so we've been able to take a tool like Agile, but then also use it in our design work so that we're able to say, you know, how can we condense a 3-month design research project into, you know, a week, right? Or into a few days. And so how do we do these sprints? Because there are design sprints as well as technology sprints. So how can we use that common language of sprints to be able to accelerate work and to accelerate our outcomes?
I really like where you're going. We at Adaptivate are very well aligned with that as well. It's mm-hmm. For us, it's about accelerating outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And so sure, Agile, you know, was sort of born out of the software development process. You can absolutely apply it to other topics, like process related things and people,
right,
and really to accelerate outcomes across the board. So
mm-hmm.
it sounds like you are able to take those principles and really drive them into the business where it makes sense to achieve those outcomes a little faster.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I like that we've talked about before also is really how we think about, you know, what's the amount of information that you need for a decision, right? And so where do we need? And I think that's where design has really been helpful, is really understanding when you need a strong signal versus when you need to have absolute fact, right? And so when we think about our hypothesis, it is like, how do we want to test our hypotheses? And also, and understanding our hypotheses helps us understand what we need to actually de-risk.
Exactly. Ling, is there anything you could share with us about what you're working on? Wouldn't, share too much about any state secrets, if you will, but any interesting things that you could sort of share with us on some of the cool stuff that you're doing?
You know, I think, so we have a few projects that are in the works right now, and they're all COVID related, you know, and I think one of the things I would say broadly that our team is looking at doing is really understanding we as an organization have been really well positioned in COVID. I think as so many organizations move to virtual, we've been doing, you know, telehealth for the past 15 years. We've had email and phone visits and had rolled out video visits like 6 or 7 years ago. And so it's really cool that technology is playing such a large role in the COVID response and in being able to meet our member needs. You know, our team, what we're focused on is really solving a little bit more of some of the specific challenges we see with COVID. One of our sister groups, the Office of Transformation, did some great work with the garment industry in LA to really repurpose garment centers to develop and to make personal protective equipment for our doctors and nurses. So that was really, really cool. We're looking at things a little bit more from a technology perspective, looking at remote monitoring, staff monitoring, things along those lines of how we can use technology. Is not always the solution, but if it is, how can we make sure that it's deployed in a way that is seamless and is also that creates the least amount of friction for our physicians and members? Like, you know, we don't want our physicians to go through a 10-page or 10-day training for a technology. We want them to be able to do something quickly so they can do what they need to do to really focus on our members and focus on taking care of themselves. So what we are doing is really looking at what might we repurpose in our existing technologies, and then also, and how might we deploy them for COVID, and also looking at some new solutions that might support our physicians and our members in a COVID response.
Ling, I think it's really interesting to be able to center around something like our current environment with COVID, and you and your team really accelerating outcomes to be able to, you know, bring something to market to support your essential workers and your members or your patients even more quickly. you know, I can't imagine a better mission right now than to be able to do that. So that's fantastic that it sounds like I would imagine you've been able to pivot some of your initiatives to really, you know, focus on the current environment.
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, we were really lucky that there were a few technologies that we were looking at for other use cases to support care delivery. We sit in a care delivery technology group, so we're looking at always looking at ways to improve the care delivery experience. And so we were really fortunate that a lot of the solutions that we were looking at had COVID use cases, so we could quickly see what could work. You know, is there anything new and disruptively better than what exists? And also, we don't want to offer a duplicative solution to what, you know, what might exist. So we're able to assess that quickly, which is allowing us to move faster than we normally would be.
You know, that touches on something that just sort of occurred to me in what you're, you know, talking about here in terms of what's sort of in your pipeline. Were there things out there in terms of business continuity or, you know, planning for something like a pandemic or something like that, where you sort of repurposed and brought into your pipeline, if you will?
Yeah. So thankfully, there's nothing that in our pipeline so far that we are having to build from the ground up. A lot of ours has really just been about repurposing for a different opportunity. So for example, if we were thinking about doing monitoring and testing on patients, then, you know, could we repurpose that for physicians or for other staff as an example? Or if we're doing virtual care, how do we think about some of the workflows and how those workflows might change with COVID? I just read something this morning that was fairly depressing. Melinda Gates had said that a global pandemic is not going to be a once a century event, but was going to be more frequent. And that's, I think, what Dr. Fauci had said also. So, you know, we're thinking of, you know, what are the things like in this post-COVID world, when we get to it, things that we've done that we want to keep, right, that make sense as the new normal? And what are the things that we want to change to make them better, because the COVID fix might have just been a Band-Aid and what we want to shore up a little differently? And what are the things where we do want it to go back to the old normal? So that's like really what we're starting to think about. I don't know if that totally answers your question as we think about preparing for this pandemic or this kind of disaster. But when we think about future, that's kind of what's on our minds right now, right? What do we want to keep? What do we want to change? And what do we want to go back to?
Yeah, I really appreciate that. That answers my question and then some, in that it just shows how nimble you and your team are to be able to take something or repurpose it based on, you know, what's right in front of us right now. And then also sort of looking at, in a longer term way, how do we need to think about what you're working on now and how you're bringing that to your members? And the fact that, you know, you almost always need to be thinking about that in the future, just based on, you know, your comments around what Melinda Gates mm-hmm. had mentioned, right? So I appreciate that. I'm certainly thinking about what does the new world look like out there? You know, what could go back to what we might have called normal, and what won't, right? How will companies operate in the new world? And there's probably some sort of blend out there. And I don't think anyone has certainly predicted that, because we still haven't predicted, or really
week.
No one, right? No one can predict, like, what, you know, how long this will take, and first and foremost, how the health of our population, both domestically and globally, will react, and then on the heels of that, the economy. So really fascinating. But, you know, what I took from that is your ability to be so nimble, and the fact that, you know, you're all thinking about how might we need to address something like this potentially in not once every century, but years, and unfortunately, you know, maybe even months, as we see how this plays out.
Absolutely. That was beautifully stated, Nate.
Well, I certainly have a soft spot for Kaiser, spending several years there and working with you and others at the organization. Certainly an organization where their hearts are in the right place, and you mm-hmm. sort of feel that in the culture through and through.
Absolutely.
Ling, what can other companies learn from Kaiser, and also what you are doing at Kaiser?
Yeah, you know, Nate, I think what part of Kaiser's secret sauce is really, as you'd stated earlier, our mission and our culture, right? That having a strong sense of a North Star has been really vital and has really woken us up, especially as it relates to this crisis. What I've been so impressed with is how we as an organization have really rallied around in every facet around supporting each other with COVID. We have call centers that are dedicated to employees. You know, if people need COVID support, need babysitting, all of those things, we have additional benefits in place for those on the front lines. And so there is something about how the organization takes care of its people that allows those people then to take care of our members and our patients better. You know, and I think the other thing is really that the collaborative nature, I think, of the organization, which I'm sure you've experienced during your time at and your tenure at Kaiser, so rarely is one idea the result of one person. And it takes a team and it takes many minds to make great work. And so I think that as we're able and as organizations are able to break barriers and to collaborate across silos, across, you know, regions, across different functions, that's what makes, I think, a stronger and often faster product.
Very well put. So right back at you on that one. Given that Kaiser is such a large health system, there is risk for, again, for fragmentation. And sure, there are a lot of moving parts, but very well said. That sort of central mission or North Star really comes through there. And I do think organizations, not just in healthcare, but just in general, could really sort of take a cue or really learn from how Kaiser does it. So Ling, what's next for the healthcare space? And also, what's next for you?
Well, I've been thinking about this for a bit, just in general, in the context of our work, because a lot of, you know, my team, I have a component of my team that focuses on some of our emerging trends and really being able to identify what's next. Before the crisis, we were at this kind of almost tipping point or the beginnings of a tipping point with virtual care and telehealth. And I think with COVID, people are forced to use these services. I think and I hope that people are starting to see the value in what these virtual services are and what they could be and the convenience that they could offer. And so I think that what's next is really an expansion of this and an accelerated expansion of virtual care. So everything from, you know, how we do telehealth in multiple specialties or video visits, how we think about remote monitoring and remote diagnostics, and really how we continue to allow this consumer-driven nature of healthcare to kind of take root. So we had seen a lot of the consumer-driven nature of healthcare with Amazon and with Haven and with like the One Medicals and the Forwards of the world. And I think we're going to continue to see a focus on the member and or on the patient and having that person at the center of everything and using virtual care really as a technology to drive care to the person and to allow the person to have like that personalized experience.
Yeah. And Ling, that's so interesting in that in some ways, there are so many opportunities. There are technologies, there are platforms, there are processes that really allow for members or patients to stay well, to be healthy outside of the hospital. And I do see that being something that Kaiser, in some ways, I think, sort of leads the thinking on and the capability to do that. And ultimately, we know that people will get sick and people will end up in hospitals, but that's also a large cost drain for patients and members and also the healthcare systems.
Yeah, absolutely.
So interesting to hear about that.
Yeah, I think the next few years are going to be fascinating as we rethink the impacts of COVID and the impacts to virtual technology and having to shore up some of those capabilities, as well as what does that mean for going into the hospital, right? Or going into the doctor's office visit. How does that change? What does that look like? I think it is a fascinating time to be in healthcare.
Yeah, and I think in some ways, some of the patients or members, you know, may find, or at least the feedback that I've heard is that it makes it a less personalized experience. And I, you know, when you're utilizing technology or you're not with a physician, and I do feel like there's a way to actually make that better. And I think that will be a trend that, you know, we'll see is the ability to leverage technology, to leverage telehealth, and then also have that sort of personal connection. So
absolutely,
certainly something that, you know, perhaps is a little aspirational, but I know you and your team and Kaiser will get it done.
I hope so. I think that is definitely the hope and the aspiration.
That's great. And how about what's next for you?
Yeah. So Nate, you know, I've been in this role for about 7 months now. And so as I get a little bit more grounded in technology and familiar with the players and how things work, what I'm really looking forward to in the next few months and year is two things. One is really being able to grow my team and figure out how we add value, whether it is in understanding the emerging technology trends that exist and how they apply to Kaiser, and then being able to deploy projects and work on projects that use design to ensure that what we're offering to members is what's going to be satisfying and delightful to them.
Great. Well, let's switch gears. What do you miss most as we social distance?
I feel like my answers to this are very first world problems. So I think what I miss most is going to a restaurant and eating food that I did not make and being able to leave and not wash dishes.
There you go.
So that is, I mean, I miss friends, but I am thankful for Zoom and for FaceTime. Giving someone a hug is what I miss, and being able to eat in a restaurant.
Yeah, I hear you. And so someone who shares a certain affinity for food and drink.
Yes.
What's your go-to food delivery? Like what are you going to order tonight or this weekend that hopefully will hit the spot?
Oh, so Nate, I meant to tell you about this as you just moved to LA. So we have been trying to find mom and pop shops, obviously, to support our local businesses. And so there's one in Redondo that I love. It's called Sweet Rice. And so they do like Thai breakfast. And what they are known for is like a Thai curry dish, which is perfect on a gloomy day, called khao soi. And so it's like a curry and it has like egg noodles in it. And it has like, you know, wontons, you get your sweet and savory, and you also get like your crunchy and everything. And so that plus their mango sticky rice has been my husband and I's go-to. I think we've ordered it like 3 times in the past 3 weeks.
So, wow.
Highly recommended.
Okay. Okay. Well, after this show, I'm going to get the details on that. And hopefully, you know, we can all go there in person at some point.
Yes.
Soon.
Before the end of the 2020 would be great.
That would be great. Ling, do you have a podcast recommendation you could share?
Well, I think other than the one that I will now recommend, which is The Backlog, the other one that I love is Malcolm Gladwell's Revisionist History. I don't know if you've listened to that one, but it is so good. So Malcolm Gladwell takes kind of like assumptions that we make or hypotheses we make and really turns them around. The series that he did that I really love is about education. So he starts out with the premise of like, why is college food at certain universities, why is it so good, right? And what is the impact of that to education and scholarships and people's ability to get a college education?
Wow. Really, that's fascinating. It's like taking the most nuanced thing or something we don't think about every day and understanding its larger impact. That's cool. That is something I would certainly be interested in. Well, hey, Ling, thank you so much for your time. Again, it's a pleasure hearing from you today and sort of reminiscing in some ways about Kaiser and what you're doing on your team in the innovation space, which can't be any more pertinent to the current situation that we have in front of us now. And you and your team being able to pivot and use agile ways of working to help support the Kaiser team, which ultimately supports members and patients out there. So thanks again so much for being on today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This has been really fun.
Great. So you just listened to The Backlog, brought to you by Adaptivate. You will be hearing from us soon. Until then, stay safe and healthy.